One of the things that we are trying to do as a church is to partner with 125 churches within the state of Florida that are part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and then partner with churches that are gospel-centered churches throughout the state of Florida to accomplish that very thing. Sometimes we wonder, what is church about? Is church about an event that I come to on Sunday morning to feel better because I hear music that lifts my spirit? And sometimes the pastor's message doesn't run on for an hour, and you know, we get all these things, or something encourages me, and sometimes we have a tendency to shrink what the church is meant to be. How many million people are in Florida? 19 million. What percentage of them are estimated don't go to a gospel-centered church? 91%. 91% of 19 million. Think about that. That is the need that you and I live around every day. 9 out of 10 people that you encounter as you go to work, as you drive down the street, know nothing about the life and work of Jesus Christ and its potential impact for their life. Isn't that an amazing thought? Jesus stepped into this world and he came to unite us to the Father. Because of our choice, we lived outside of God's plan, God's design, and things have spun out of control ever since. And Jesus steps in to bring the reign, the rule of God into new light and into our life in a personal way. And it's amazing when you begin to think about that. At the end of Matthew's gospel, the 28th chapter, there's two verses. We know this sometimes so well that we just discount it because it's simply the Great Commission. And we think, oh, Great Commission, it may be, that's something, I'm just a common person, it can't be anything for me. It's got to be something for professionals. Maybe it's for missionaries and pastors and, you know, no, it's not. It's for that thing called the church. The people that have experienced the life-changing power of Jesus. Did you know that the word Christian only appears 3 times in the Bible? There's one word that defines over hundreds of times throughout the New Testament what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and that is a disciple. Listen to Matthew's words here as he writes what Jesus is challenging his church to do. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. The grammar of this isn't, it means as you're going through life, as life happens, when the alarm goes off, you roll out of bed, you begin to get yourself ready for the day, and you begin to encounter your first people as you get to work, you get to school, or you get to the store, or whatever you're doing that day, as you're going, what are we to be about doing? Getting through the day, right? Isn't that what we often think? We've got so many things that we want to do. We've got an agenda. We've got all of these things. And yet Jesus is saying the church should know that there's priorities. There's things that matter more than others. And realizing what he's saying here is that our task is to make disciples of all nations. We leave that word nations, but it's real, of all peoples. The reason he says it that way is not because he's thinking of the world like we do, as we have the continents, the countries, and all of the leaders, and we think of it all divided the way. The people in that day, everybody kind of traveled through Palestine. But what Jesus was saying was, this is not just a Jewish thing. It's for everybody. So when you go down the street, it's for all 9 out of 10. Not just for the 1 in 10. It's for everybody. The gospel message is for everybody. It's a message that we need to share with everybody. There are people who will respond to the gospel message from every group, every strata of society, every nationality, every background. It's the enemy's limiting of things in our mind that get in the way. Because we sit there and we say, oh, I know that person and I know their mindset. And I know. Well, you know what you also need to know? Verse 18. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Who is the authority? Christ. Who is the all-powerful one? Christ. You see, God wants to do amazing things through us, His church. And it's exciting to begin to think about this. Our task is to be about disciple making, not Christian making. In our culture, sometimes we've got this idea that a Christian is somebody that's prayed a prayer and they've punched their ticket to heaven. And they kind of just are on the train till they get there. And that idea is nowhere found throughout Scripture. When people encountered Jesus, it forever changed their life. The 12 people that he called to follow them, he called them multiple times. He called them first to come and watch and listen. Listen to what I have to say and see if it doesn't resonate in your heart. And then he said, leave everything, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So he said, you got to see and hear what the message is first. But the challenge of the message is all life-changing. It changes all priorities. It changes everything. And they left everything. And they followed him. And their life was forever different. Now, remember what happened after the crucifixion? Where did they go? Back to life. What changed? What changed was who they lived for. In that time, there was some confusion as to what it all meant. But as Jesus appeared to them after he rose again, pieces began to come together. And life still went on. Food still had to be provided for. Travel and everything else still went on. But it went on with a new sense of purpose and a new sense of meaning. It stopped being the drudgery. In Genesis chapter 3, everything became difficult and painful because of sin. Genesis 3:27, Marsh's favorite saying, life is hard and then you die. That's essentially what sin did to the world. It made life hard and then you died. And Jesus stepped in to make life abundant and eternal through faith in him. And it began to change. And so we begin to think about all this. We've got this commission. We've got, this is what church is about. Church isn't about getting here on Sunday. And so as we think about what we do as a church, We're looking at trying to challenge ourselves to realize what God can do through us. And we've been partnering with our churches and come up with this concept of gospel footprint. It's not the first time you've heard it. We've talked about it before. We've talked about all kinds of things about that, about owning. Many of you have seen a map of the Cape Coral area out in the by the office. Okay, you're going to begin to see footprints pop up on that map, circles of accountability. And I think you're going to be surprised to see, as circles of accountability pop up, how many points of presence God has in this community just because of us. And when you begin to realize that He wants to manifest Himself in all of those places through us, it's a pretty amazing thing. Now, I want to talk a little bit more and expand and help us understand what that gospel footprint means. And I want to talk about some very practical ways that we're working on that as a church. And connecting into some of the activities and things that we do and help you see what they mean. There's three aspects to developing a healthy gospel footprint. I mean, everywhere I go, I become a reflection of Christ in some way. But I want to be a healthy reflection of Christ. I want people to see Him through me in the right way. And there's three dynamics, if you want to call them, that we're going to talk about this morning. And the first one is kind of resonates with this verse in Psalm 46. The psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." One of the first things that you and I need to realize is that there's a look-up dimension in our life that begins to happen when God steps in. And life becomes more about my dreams and my ambitions and my hobbies and my problems. There's God's story, and He's invited us to step into His story in Jesus Christ. He's invited us to a relationship with Him. He's invited us to understand who He is and to how He wants to be manifest in our life. And that's an amazing thing. The whole idea of the look up is trying to begin to align our perspective with His will and His mission. And you see that unfolded when you read the Gospels. You see how that began to unfold with the 12. And it took them a while. I mean, Jesus was with them for 3.5 years. And in a couple of weeks, next week, we're going to start a series through the book of Galatians. And we're going to be looking at Peter. And you see one point where Peter gets still getting it all wrong. And we're here years later. So the look up, I mean, it's a life journey, God bringing us in line with His will and His mission, understanding how that's all working out. But we've got to, just like we talked about when we were doing the emotionally healthy spirituality, we've got to be able to slow down and listen. And I just want to share a little story. About how powerful that is. You guys know I wear this gospel bracelet. And, you know, I've had so much going on and I've been so busy, it didn't seem like I was getting any opportunities to share. And I was struggling in the busyness of everything to really slow down and to be still and know that He is God. I mean, I'm spending time in the Word, I'm praying, I'm doing all of those things, but to just really, and I'm struggling with it, I'm battling with it, and so yesterday I wake up an hour and a half before I intended to get up. And so I said, you know, I'm just going to be still. Just going to sit and listen. About every 15 minutes, I'd read a scripture and just let it sit. Let it rest. And I had a busy day planned yesterday. And so I get myself ready and I start on my day. And there's been some people that I've been wanting to share the gospel with for probably 10 years. But God's never given an open door. But yesterday, in the middle of my day, somebody I met for the first time looks down at my wrist and says, "What's that all about?" And one of the people that I've been waiting to share that story with is standing right next to me. And there's five other people standing by. So I get to share the story. Sometimes we don't realize how powerfully God wants to show up because we're so busy. And sometimes we're busy because life is busy. But we've got to battle for those moments. I don't know if I missed other opportunities because of my busyness, or whether there weren't opportunities, I don't know. And honestly, that really doesn't matter. What matters is that God reminds us all the time that He's there. And that He'll work if we'll slow down and wait. And it's just, it's His story. It's not really about us. It's for us, but it's not about us. And that leads us to another dynamic in our gospel footprint, and it is this. And it comes off of this scripture here in Ephesians. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Paul, in sharing this, is saying that, you know, God has a plan for each of us, and He's uniquely shaped each of us for that plan. And when we begin to look at that, that's amazing when you think about it. It's that God wants to work through us and change us, but it requires that we slow down and even not only look up, but we look in. What's going on inside of me? Paul tells the church in Corinth that we're new creations in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. Sometimes we mistakenly think, oh, okay, my past doesn't matter and who I am doesn't matter. And yet God has said that He's made us, according to the words of the psalmist, exactly the way He wants us to be. Shaped us in our mother's womb, made us marvelous and wonderful, given each of us unique talents and abilities. And on top of that, when we began to follow Him and surrendered our life to Him, He filled us with His Spirit and He gave us spiritual gifts so that we have unique ways that He Himself will express Himself through our uniquenesses to do things that are above and beyond anything we could ask or imagine. But do we know that? Do we see ourselves through God's eyes? Or do we simply see what our past has shaped us into, and do we simply believe the tapes of our past to rule our present? God invites us to look in. A gospel footprint enables us, requires us to look at ourselves through His eyes. It's not about a self-focus, it's about seeing ourselves correctly in His eyes. And that's an amazing thing. Because our world is about competition and comparison. And our jobs are about performance. School's about performance. You have all of these measurements and all of these things that we allow to shape us. and to define us. And God says, but I made you. I gave my son for you to be in relationship with me. And I have shaped you to be a unique witness for me. Don't you want to see that? That's why things like the emotionally healthy spirituality, that's why sometimes our messages aren't about a book in the Bible, but sometimes they're about a part of our life and how the Bible, the book, speaks into that. It's always connected. But sometimes we need to come at it from a different direction to be able to see it. And to realize that the two connect. Sometimes it's hard for us to believe that we are God's masterpiece. Like Paul says. So there's that dynamic of the look in. I've got to be doing that. And then there's the dynamic of a lookout. Acts 1:8. Jesus is getting ready to leave the disciples, to ascend back up into heaven, to sit at the right hand of God. And he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. You know, it's not just about us. It's about everybody. You see, the early church was coming out of a mindset of it's all about God's covenant with the Jewish people. But what they didn't see is that God had a bigger plan than just that. Not one nationality, but the whole world. And sometimes we can get caught up on our little activities and think everything we plan and do here is about us. But it's not. I mean, every one of us will enjoy the things we do because when we get together, we enjoy being together. We enjoy experiencing the presence of Christ together and all of that. And it all resonates and it all connects. But we need to begin to understand that God has a plan for us in our Jerusalem, which is Cape Coral. And our Judea, which spreads out beyond the boundaries of our little city. And our Samaria. You know, sometimes we look at that. What was the Samaritan? The Samaritan wasn't necessarily a huge region. It was those ethnically different people right next door to the Jews. Yeah. And so it's those people in our life that are different than we are. In Florida, everybody's different because everybody comes from somewhere else. we're all different. We all have different backgrounds and all of, you know. So I mean, but it's. And when we begin to think about it, the uttermost parts of the earth. I mean, we've been talking about Cuba and we've been talking about Jordan and we've been connecting with these mission fields and we've got connections with 54 mission fields around the world that are a part of the Alliance family. That's amazing. 35,000 congregations will gather this weekend, a part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance family around the world, and that is only one part of the body of Christ. That's an amazing thing. To think that when you and I pray for these nations and these missionaries and these churches, that God is present and going to work through that to bring the light of the gospel there. It's amazing. But it's an and culture. It's not, oh yeah, well I like the idea of helping refugees in Syria, so I'll send some money and I'll pray. But we don't like our neighbor. This doesn't work that way. I mean, I get it, it's not always easy. I mean, you could have somebody like Dave living next to you. You know, but the reality is that God's got a place and a place of involvement for us in each of those circles of influence. And those things are so special. Now, when you think about a gospel footprint, I've got to have a look up. I've got to be doing things in my life to bring myself closer to my connection with God's will and God's mission. I've got to be understanding who I am. And I've got to be understanding the people around me. Now, two quick suggestions for you. This. Three relationships you need to think of that you always need to have in your life to help you in your look up and your look in. You need to have a Paul. A Paul is somebody that you have seen getting it, getting God's mission, getting God's will, and you want to learn how to get it like they did. So they're helping you grow. And then at the same time, you need a Timothy. A Timothy is the person that you've noticed is trying to get it, but they need some encouragement. And so you're going to speak into their life. And then you need the Barnabas. And you know who Barnabas is? Barnabas is that person that's right there with you on the journey. And they love you to death. But they aren't impressed with you in the least. And they can speak into your life and they can tell you in a heartbeat when you're faking it. Or they know you well enough to know that one of your struggles, God's just met you in. And they'll remind you of that so you know He's still at work. You see, it's those relationships. Those relationships occur as we gather for worship. We begin to connect and then we have other gatherings that we use to build and nurture those relationships. And you think about those. You know, we have our learning communities, and as we're getting ready to launch in September, a couple of pilot groups for our live communities. And then in January, we'll be expanding those as we have opportunity and leadership to do that and places to do that throughout the community. But we're fostering these things so that you can understand why. Because God wants us to be present in His world. He wants us to be present with each other and present with those around us so that we can be speaking into their lives so that His presence can build His church. Can you imagine? We just entered into our new software that we're using to help us facilitate ministry here. The names of the people that have a connection to our congregation because they attend something here. 210 names. 210 names. Can you imagine if we could all get on the same page and understand what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus? And we all take some steps in our look up, look in, and look out, and understand a gospel footprint. You can hit that next slide, Jake. See, as we get that, can you imagine what God would do in our church, in our community, and in the missional connections and partnerships that we have with ministries here in this county and churches in this state? And nations around the world? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm getting excited. I am communicating with one of the young men in Cuba who is a potential pastor who may end up, as we get into this leadership training partnership with the nation of Cuba and the church there to put this seminary in Bayamo, he may be one of the first students in that seminary. And he may end up becoming a pastor in a church there in Cuba. It's amazing when we begin to think about all of these connections and knowing that our prayers aren't just words we say, but they're channels through which the presence and power of God moves. That's a gospel footprint. Think about how it would change our community. I mean, elections are significant. We had a great opportunity to vote. We have a privilege of voting and everything. But let me tell you something. If you will give God the same time that you give to political ambitions, he'll do 10 times as much with it, or more. As the scripture tells us, he holds the heart of the king in his hand. He doesn't need to wait for the right one. He holds them all and can turn them as he wills. That doesn't mean we don't pray for good leadership. That doesn't mean that we don't make wise choices when we vote and all of those kinds of things. But we need to understand the power dynamic that's going on around us. That he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Something quickly I want you to catch, and we're going to be talking about this more and more. This graphic helps you understand two challenges that the people around us have to come to grips with, and we're coming to grips with to differing degrees. You see the cross kind of dividing that circle, and the crossbar represents Christ and becoming a disciple of Christ and coming to grips with who Jesus is changes things. And coming to grips with the kingdom, the family of God, really understanding what the church is and beginning to get engaged in it and become connected relationally with the people of God and partnering together with them and trusting God to work together through us to impact the world. But if you want to think about it, there's four quadrants in that, aren't there? So if you take that upper right-hand quadrant in the green there, that represents the people that get it. Kind of looks like the 10%, doesn't it? The 9% that are connected to a gospel church. See, and sometimes what we're tempted to do is we think that the whole goal is to isolate ourselves in that quadrant so that we don't get influenced or infected by the rest. But the point of the church is that we're to spiral our life around the access of those two realities, Christ and the kingdom. And our life spins in all of those quadrants all the time. You and I are always running across people who are quote-unquote Christian, but they have no interest in the kingdom or the family. Or they're in a church, but they have no clue about Christ. You see, there's people in all those quadrants when you look at them, and you look at, and then that bottom quadrant, the largest quadrant, represents symbolically for us all those people out there who have no idea who Jesus is and no idea about the kingdom of God and the difference that that makes. That's our task and that's our challenge. We gather for worship to spur our look up. We plan our messages and we prepare them to challenge you to see God's mission and God's will and your place in it. The fellowship times that we have afterward in the learning communities and all of those things are designed to stir your understanding of that and to get you on page and to equip you to go out into those three regions as you live, work, and play. That whole thing's church. Our problem is we think the upper quadrant is when we can hang out with people who are just like us and who understand everything we do. Uh-uh. There's a dynamic that happens when we get together with those people. But it's intended to create a synergy that changes the rest of those quadrants. And that's your calling, and that's our calling. And that's what I want to see us do as a church. I want to see us impacting those people. And we can't get too caught up in what that's going to look like. What we need to get caught up in is, what do we look like? Do we look like a disciple? You look at that, three quarters of that quadrant. I want to challenge you. I told you three relationships you need to think of. The Paul, the Barnabas, and the Timothy. And it does, for some people, it'll be three people in their life because that's how they're wired relationally. For some people, you'll have more connections than that. It's kind of funny. My wife and I are a little different, if you haven't noticed. I'm a little more outgoing than she is. And she's probably got three that fill that role in her life. And, you know, I've got a couple in each category. I'm a little wired a little different relationally. So it doesn't matter whether you have three people in your life that fill that role or whether you have 30 people, 10 in each category. But do you have people? You need those voices speaking into your life. The other thing is this. How many people in those other three quadrants has God put in your life that he's asking you to be the gospel witness to? So I want to challenge you out in one other way. Do you know three? Do you know three? Three people that God has put in your life that are far from him but close to you, that he's asked you to be his presence in their life. Now, periodically we have had it, and I was looking for it in my library, but I lost my hard drive and I just replaced it, but we're going to have it out there. We've got a little brochure. It used to be called 10 Most Wanted, but it's like a gospel footprint where we get you to identify 10 people. 10 people. But from those 10, I want to challenge you to realize that there's three that you run across on a regular basis. Do you know those three? Can you name them? How many people, you don't have to shout out names, but just think to yourself, how many people do you know in your life that fit that role? How many names can you name? I know every one of us has multiple, but I know every one of us has at least three that God wants to be speaking to through us. And we need to be getting to know those people and loving on those people, not for the purpose of sharing anything with them other than being the presence of Christ with them and let him handle the rest. It's just like the situation I was in and trying to share, and you know, I'd really been struggling. And here, you know, God gives me an opportunity not only to share that story with the person I've been praying for, but numerous others. God has a way of working. God has a way of working. I want us to catch this and understand this. You know, as we think about communion, sometimes it's so easy to isolate church. This is what the bread and the cup is about. This is it. About trying to develop a gospel footprint. As we are growing as a church, these are things that we are trying to do. We do events that try to connect with people. We invite people in. We do the community yard sales. We go out into the community. We've got to get outside the walls of this building for the church life to really happen. 3/4 of church life happens outside of this building. And God needs us to be present in all those quadrants. And he's put us present in all of them in life. Huh. Funny, isn't it? How he asks us to go, or as we're going through life, make disciples. And then he said, oh, to make it easy, I'm going to put 3/4 of your life wrapped around the people you need to make disciples of. So you got opportunity. So would you invite them into, you know, life with me? Would you introduce them into the community of the kingdom? You know, we think of baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptism is not just about church membership. It's about identifying ourselves with the community that is present in God and his people. It's a beautiful picture. As we come to the table this morning, and as we think of communion, there's one verse of Scripture I want to use as kind of a launch into our time around the table. And it's from Romans. It's going to be that second slide in the communion slide. Romans 5:17. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. The gospel message is that as a disciple of Christ, I am no longer reigned by sin, but I can reign in life in Christ. You see, it's a challenge to do this. Makes it very clear that before we encounter Christ, death reigns. Sin rules. That's what it is. That's it. Whether it's pleasant at the moment or painful at the moment, apart from Christ, it's still death reigning. But in Christ, it becomes all the more. And sometimes we lose a sense of where the rubber meets the road on that. What does that look like in real life? That you look at that verse and you think, well, what does it look like? I had an opportunity this week to kind of share it, and I missed it. We were talking about this a little bit last week in Sunday school, I mean in the learning community, and Elizabeth has started in the college at Florida Southwestern. She's a part of the collegiate high school. So she's done her 2 years of high school. She's now starting her 2 years of college, and she had her first quiz. And she was sick. And she didn't want to go to school Monday morning because she was worrying about this quiz. She actually is sick today. Both she and Marcia. But so I'm praying for her, and I'm thinking, we're sitting at the bus, and you know, and I'm telling her, you know, just relax, and just, you've studied, and just, you know, trust God. And so she gets on the bus, and I start to the office, and God says to me, you know what? There was a perfect opportunity for you to explain to her how she can reign in life right now, by trusting me and not giving in to fear. You see, we don't realize how practical sometimes the gospel is. As disciples of Christ, the power of sin is broken through the cross. And through our faith and trust in Him, we can step into His courage in the face of our fear. And we can reign when fear wants to rule. Because fear is from sin, trying to keep us from trusting that God knows what we need. And I thought for a moment, I'm thinking, well, I can text her this. And then I'm thinking, it's not all going to come across right in the text. But I did text her, and I said, don't fear. God's with you. I'm praying for you. Remember that. But there's so many practical moments in our life when we've got to catch this stuff. And you know, it was morning. I was halfway through my first cup of coffee. I had no excuses. The excuse is that sometimes I don't even think how practical it is that the gospel is sufficient for our every moment. And it is. And that's what we celebrate when we share the bread and the cup. So as we come to the table this morning, we're celebrating the fact that in Christ, the power of sin is broken. And you and I can reign. We can reign over fear. We can reign over our pride. We can reign over our doubts. We can reign over our hatreds. We can reign over our prejudices. We can reign over it all because of Christ. That's what we share. That's what we celebrate when we share the bread and the cup. That His life was given so that we could have life. And it's given to us by grace through faith in Christ, so none of us can boast. Those two verses before Ephesians 2:10. So we come this morning to celebrate. I want you to just take a moment and just be quiet before the Lord. If you have never trusted Christ, and made the decision to become a disciple of His, I encourage you to do so this morning. If you've done so, just be quiet before Him and ask Him to show you in some way the power of His reigning presence in your life. And thank Him for being there. And ask Him to just show you those moments in your life where He is there and you are never alone, that He is with you always. And then I'm going to lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving for the elements, and then we'll share together.